you fool! You fell victim to one of the classic blunders. The most famous is never get involved in a land war in Asia, but only slightly less well-known is this. Never go in against a Sicilian when death is on the line.
Change has come to America.
Alien race to come down and threaten us.
The military-industrial complex.
A highly funded yet unofficial government agency.
I've now been in 57 states.
From a lushly landscaped bunker in the heartland of America, this is PID Radio. I'm Derek Gilbert.
And that would make me Sharon Gilbert, everybody. And welcome to our lovely bunker, surrounded by the lovely flowers that are kept nice and moist by the lovely Sam.
It's part of his defense. You know, he's got a mark here and a mark there, so the squirrels know the boundaries. Across the line, we go from a misunderstanding to something else.
He doesn't seem to understand what the mark of the beast really is. No, he was out there this afternoon smelling the flowers, and I wish I had a movie camera out there, because he really did look as if he were just going from flower to flower, sniffing its lovely little scent.
Yeah, we've got plenty of black-eyed Susans in the backyard. It really is beautiful back there right now.
Oh, thanks,
and,
honey.
Sam is now resting after his jaunt through the backyard on his security check of the perimeter. But while he was doing it, he was sniffing at all the flowers. And it really would have made for a cute movie.
So it really would have. I don't think that he was just stopping and smelling the roses, so to speak. He was smelling the bunnies and the birds and the squirrels and all of the intruders that he was trying to keep track of.
Yes. So, well, anyway, welcome to Wednesday, August the 5th, 2009. Yes?
Is that a grassroots effort on his part? Or is that AstroTurf? I mean, well, does he have backers that are just, is he genuine? Can we trust him when he goes back there and acts like he's doing things in our best interest?
Well, the cats say it is an AstroTurf effort, not a grassroots effort.
That's exactly what the
Sam
cats are accusing
says,
him of.
That's right. But Sam says he does have bipartisan support. So he is, we're sticking with Sam for now, because
I heard he was flibertarian, but I don't buy that.
No, it was libertarian. No.
We can really get worse, but because we don't want to nauseate you further.
That's right. We'll stop and actually get on to some things in the news today. Boy, oh boy, do the pundits and the politicians think we out here in flyover land are really stupid. Oh, brother. Yeah, posted a note yesterday about the whole issue about the Barack Obama birth certificate, and mentioned Bill Maher's op-ed piece in the LA Times on Monday. And this seems to be the tack that is being employed by both sides of the spectrum. I mean, Glenn Beck on the one side, Bill Maher on the other, and everyone in between. Anyone who just says, you know, I've got to show a stamped, authentic copy of my birth certificate to get a driver's license.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it so hard? Why is the administration fighting so hard? And why are these national pundits saying, look, this shouldn't be a big deal. He's a citizen. Just produce the birth certificate. It's all over. It blows away. And we forget about this for the next 3.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Why is this turning into such a... Why is the Democratic National Committee stepping into this and insulting otherwise intelligent people instead of just addressing the issue?
And by saying that we're not smart enough to figure it out, and thereby it can't be the average flyover state people who are behind this. It has to be some sort of...
Oh, yes, an evil... Oh, yeah, that's right, the vast right-wing conspiracy. I almost forgot. I'd misplaced my membership card. And throwing sand in the eyes. Now, look, let's be clear about what the state of Hawaii issues. There's a certification of live birth, and then there is the certificate of live birth. And in 1961, the certification of live birth simply says you have a live baby here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's essentially what it says.
And it's right now in Hawaii.
And it's right now in Hawaii. And we'll say that he was born in Honolulu if you say that that's where he was born. Mm-hmm. The certificate of live birth is one that was signed by the doctor who was present and said, yes, this baby was in fact born on this date at this location.
Yes.
And what the president and the administration have provided so far is the certification of live birth, not the certificate of live birth. And there is a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And yet those who defend the administration would say, no, there's no difference. He's already provided the certificate. You're stupid. Well, sorry, we're not stupid. And we're not, you know, most of what passes for political discourse on the internet is about as appealing as monkey poo flung back and forth at the zoo. And that's about as intelligent as the discourse is as well.
Green monkey poo?
Very possibly. And we'll get to the green monkeys here in just a minute. That's why I don't really get into the political blogging anymore, because most of it's done for other political bloggers, and they just go back and forth. Our mm-hmm. team rocks, your team stinks. This is not one of those issues. I'm sorry. We just happen to have a modicum of respect for the blood that's been shed in defense of the Constitution of the United States. Either it means something or it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
And if the president of the United States isn't eligible to hold the office, as nice a guy as he may be, you know, inviting average Americans over to have a beer at the White House, that seems like a pretty, mm-hmm. Nice guy, down to earth. Doesn't matter. If he's not eligible to hold the office, either change the Constitution according to the rules and procedures set out in the Constitution, or, sorry, Joe Biden is the president.
Well, here's another interesting thing. John Adams, if I remember correctly, when he was sitting on the, was he on the Supreme Court?
Not John Adams, but...
Okay, thinking of the wrong guy. But I'd have to go back and look. Don't have it in front of me. Sorry, I didn't bookmark it. But I was reading earlier today that one of the founding fathers was under the impression that natural-born citizen mm-hmm. meant not only that you were born on the soil of the United States, but that both your parents were natural-born citizens.
Now, and Attorney Orley Tates, who's sort of become the de facto leader of the birther movement, has made that point. Of course, is being ridiculed by pundits from the left and right.
Well, if that's true, it doesn't matter where he was born.
That's, yeah.
His father's from Kenya.
Right. I'm not even prepared to, say that that's even an issue. I mean, if he was born in the United States to an American citizen, Stanley Ann Dunham, then he's an American citizen. But what's really interesting, the WorldNet Daily reported today, through transcripts that they obtained from the University of Washington, that Stanley Ann Dunham, Barack Obama's mother, was in Seattle, I believe Seattle, but in Washington State anyway, attending classes at the University of Washington literally 15 days after the date listed on the so-called birth, the certification of live birth that's been posted to the internet. Now, 15 days for her to go from giving birth in Hawaii to registering for classes, flying from Hawaii to Washington State, finding an apartment, and beginning the first day of class. Seems a very compressed time frame.
It is a compressed time frame.
And it also contradicts the timeline of Barack Obama's personal history that he has outlined in one of his two memoirs, autobiographies that he's written, in which he stated that it was Barack Obama Sr. who, abandoned him and his mother and went back to Kenya, when in fact it was apparently Mrs. Obama, Stanley Ann Dunham, who abandoned Barack Sr.,
That's
who was still attending classes.
That's really interesting.
Anyway,
there's speculation out there
afield.
Now that his birth name is actually was Mary.
Huh. Okay.
And not Barack. So I don't know. There's so many questions that could easily be, just put to rest,
right.
Put to bed, if he would just produce the document.
And I wouldn't
and
even get so
bill.
Worked up about it if it weren't for people like Bill Maher and others who, instead of addressing the issue, just decide to ridicule and get into these ad hominem attacks against anyone who raises the question.
But let's not ridicule back.
No, right. And I'm trying real hard not to do that. So you can see the look on my face. Other
I know.
So,
you guys can't see it, but
I'm
I can.
I'm like, the old debate team captain inside me is wanting to get up and start.
Your blood to violence.
That's right. Now, getting back to the green monkeys, you posted
No, I'm not going to the green monkeys yet.
Okay.
There are more things to talk about.
All right.
It had to do with Obama, and I'm sorry I had it, and now I've lost it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, that's
I derailed
okay.
the conversation there.
Oh, honey, you did not. By the way.
Yes?
I love you. you're pretty cute. Oh, I know what I was going to talk about. Barack Obama's cake.
His cake.
His birthday cake. I put a picture of his birthday cake at my website. Not only was it really ugly, but a couple of things. One, it's sitting on an octagon, which we've talked about in the past. Octagons can represent in occult circles. They can represent the quarter and cross-quarter days.
Uh-huh.
So they're the Wiccan holidays. But on top of that ugly cake was a big 44. Now, mind you, I know he's the 44th president of the United States.
Right.
But it was his birthday cake.
Yeah, yeah. Not his 44th.
He turned 48.
He turned 48, yes. That's very interesting. And you're right, that is not an attractive looking cake.
That's an ugly cake.
Look, Michelle Obama has staff people who earn a combined salary of about $1.5 million a year working for her. You think at least one of them, if not, you know, capable of decorating herself, might have known somebody who could really do a job. I mean, we're talking the most powerful politician in the world here.
I know. I'm shocked. Yeah. I am shocked. But anyway, I don't know. Do they have a bunch of those just sitting around, just little, you know, 44th president's, you know, cakes that they just pull one out? Because it didn't seem to me like it celebrated anything other than 44th president. I don't know.
Yeah. It's just a little reminder that, hey, you the man.
It should have been a pile of Krispy Kremes as far as I'm concerned. With chocolate sauce dribbled over
there
the top.
Now there's a cake.
Oh, yeah, those green monkeys. Well, you know, we'll talk about those in a little bit. Before we get to that, I want to mention a couple of other things. We're talking about politics. So before we leave Washington, D.C., let's talk about the three elite jets.
Yeah.
That Nancy Pelosi has ordered for the House. You know, they were, and in fact, I started to say that Congress was jumping all over the CEOs from the banks who and GM who flew in their private jets to beg for money. Well, I'm finding it a little hard for the, you know, they've spent and spent and spent, and they're spending yet more.
Yeah.
$65 million for three jets.
$65 million a piece. $200 million altogether when you add the sales tax. The Air Force asked for a Gulfstream.
Do they pay sales tax?
I probably not. No, they of course not. Gulfstream 550, which is a luxury private jet used by executives, business executives. There are only about 190 of these in the entire world. The version that the Air Force has is not quite as luxurious as the ones flown by the guys from General Motors and, you know, other top business executives around the world. But the Air Force had asked for one to upgrade its passenger air service. The House Appropriations Committee, however, on its own initiative, said, no, let's give them three instead of one. But we're going to specify that the two extra jets have to stay assigned to the Air Force units in the D.C. area to carry members of Congress and the military around. So now, it's not certain that Nancy Pelosi asked for these jets, although we know that she did request one similar
she
to
wanted
Air Force One.
Exactly. She wanted her own little, you know,
right.
Pelosi Force One.
Yes, that's right. Pelosi Force One to fly back and forth to San Francisco. But the appropriation of the extra $130 million didn't have anyone's name attached to it. And they claim, spokespeople within the House of Representatives, that it's not really an earmark because it's actually just an expansion of an existing Defense Department program.
How is it budget neutral, though? Isn't there a rule now that anything that they ask for, that any bill that they that has money attached to it, which most of them do, except for those, we're going to now call the post office in Podunk, USA, the John J. Winkler Esquire Memorial Post Office.
Well, again, because this
was apologies to the Winkler family.
Again, because this wasn't a new initiative. This was an existing program. They can technically say this isn't exactly an earmark, so we doesn't count. It doesn't count.
It's a beer mark.
Yeah.
Run
so
us
anyway, this
the Rose Garden and drink the beer.
This Gulfstream 550 can basically fly you from D.C. to anywhere in the world. So when members of Congress now want to go on their next fact-finding junket to wherever, they can fly in style. On our dime, of course.
Naturally.
So.
Well, I don't know. Did you hear about the attempted coup in Saudi Arabia?
Yes. This is interesting because this is one of those stories that, you know, we get, of course, the version that's been released to the press. We don't know what actually went on inside the closed doors and behind, in smoke-filled rooms that led to this attempted coup, one of the princes of Saudi Arabia trying to take over for himself. But what reminded me of was the subplot in the movie Syriana about
the
prince who was trying to break his country free of the orbit of not just the United States, well, not the United States really, but the orbit of American oil companies, mm-hmm. who was then portrayed by the media as a terrorist and then taken out by missiles fired from a Predator drone.
Well, this guy's being portrayed not just as, terrorist, if you want to use that, but as a Bushy.
Interesting.
That somehow the right-wing conspiracy had footed the bill for his coup attempt.
Oh, I see. Yeah. All the money we saved by putting together the really bad fake Kenyan birth certificate for Barack Obama went to finance this attempted coup in Saudi Arabia, huh?
I don't know, but it did fail. And Saudi Arabia is kind of an odd bunch. It reminds me of old Russia. I mean, and even old England, where when the earls kind of ran the show and in conjunction with the High King. Well, my understanding is that they've got, about 200 princes there who sort of jockey back and forth to see who's the head guy.
Yeah, I don't know much about the politics of Saudi Arabia, to be honest. So
200 is really an interesting number, though, don't you think?
It is. That's the number that was supposed to have been the number of angels who came down.
Yes,
in Mount Hermon.
That is interesting, come to think of it.
Of course, it's the people. The average schlubs in Saudi Arabia, just like the average schlubs here in America, who are the ones who actually feel the brunt of whatever the bigwigs decide, or whatever the fallout is from the attempted coup there. Interesting that this rebel is being portrayed as a friend of the Bush family.
Mm-hmm. Well,
because I thought that the king and the highest ranking princes, members of the royal family, were good friends of the Bush family.
Well, they are. That's my understanding as well. However, I think that there's been some friction of late over the last, 4 or 5 years.
Mm.
Saudi Arabia didn't always play ball. There were times that they didn't want to let us launch attacks from there.
Right. And we moved out of the military bases we used during Gulf War I.
Mm-hmm.
But the Saudis are still very nervous about the influence of Iran in and around the Persian Gulf.
Well, I think the Saudi king, if nothing else, should be, because that's the head of, is it the Sunni?
They are Sunni.
No, not Sunni. It's the branch of Sunni.
Wahhabi.
Wahhabi. Thank you very much.
Yeah. And the Iranians, of course, Iran and Iraq are where the majority of the world's Shia Muslims live. Iran would like to exercise that influence through that political or through that religious connection, which is why I always wondered, why, if we were really going in to make Iraq an ally in the region, why we were pretending that we wanted to give them the right to vote, because the majority of the people inside the borders of Iraq are Shia. And we let them vote, they become Iran's new best friends. It's like, does this, I'm certainly no expert on the Islamic world, but it doesn't seem to make any sense to me. I'm not a stupid guy. It just seems like it's, not very logical.
It's a really strange situation over there. Of course, Obama's war is turning into the Afghanistan war. And let me tell you, there's a company that's moving into southern Afghanistan. She's got a big government contract.
Yeah.
That plays into the Green Monkeys.
And this is a company that's been around for a while. And every time I thought they were down and out, they somehow came back again. They must have pretty powerful connections. Because the company we're talking about is DynCorp, DynCorp. They've been getting billions of dollars worth of government contracts for work in Afghanistan and Iraq. But prior to that, for work in fighting the drug wars in Colombia, for providing security services to, in places like Somalia and in Kosovo and Bosnia, where Insight magazine did an expose on DynCorp and found that employees of DynCorp were engaging in the slave trade for sexual services. They were basically selling women into prostitution in Bosnia. And yet here they are again.
Well, I don't know if it was because of the lawsuits and those whistleblower stories that were coming out, but DynCorp had been downgraded by Standard & Poor up until this week.
down to junk bond status. And all of a sudden this week with a new announcement, suddenly investors are hopping on the bandwagon. And Sharon posted an article about this that begins to pull at some of the threads of this tangled web.
Well, you know, and again, this article really isn't answering a lot of questions for me. Really, just I learned just a tiny, tiny bit about it. It's enough to see. It's sort of like when I looked out earlier today and I saw what appeared to be termite swarmers.
Okay.
You know, I don't know for sure that they were, but they certainly appeared like it to me. And I sprayed them because that's a sign of evil underfoot.
Yes. And you don't want evil hanging around.
You don't. Sam can only do so much, you know.
That's right. I mean, you open the door, he barks, which is basically Sam for, you know, saying, hey, you guys, knock off all that evil. So,
but see, some of the things that I was finding today reminded me of finding swarmers. And if you've got swarmers, somewhere along the line, you've got larvae.
Yeah.
Eating at your wood.
Exactly. You've got rot in there. Well, what's going on is a company called Novavax has basically announced the successful production of a swine flu vaccine.
It's the equivalent of they've just broken through the tape at the end of a race.
Now, weren't there a number of companies that were all running this race?
Yes, and I suspect that many of them are still going to get fat contracts if they haven't already. But Novavax seems to be the first one that claims, we're done. Got it.
And
got
the,
it right here.
The stock jumped today, what, 22%?
Oh, yeah, something like that. I don't have it in front of me. They jumped big time. DynCorp or Novavax, they both jumped.
Yeah, 21% Novavax stock jumping today after announcing that it had successfully created a swine flu vaccine. Now,
and here's how we can connect those two seemingly disparate companies. Novavax bought out the lab that was part of DynCorp back in 1999.
Okay.
The same lab that had patented a technique to use cell lines from green monkeys to grow influenza viruses for vaccines, to make vaccines.
So instead of growing vaccines the traditional method.
In eggs.
Inside chicken eggs. They are going to grow them inside tissues cultured from green monkey livers, green monkey kidneys. Okay.
Well, I would love to go into the actual nitty-gritty of how it's done and what's in the patent, but I do have a link to that at my website. You're welcome to go in there and take a read. We'll talk more about this tomorrow because I'm just now getting in there and reading it. I want to see exactly what it is that the patent is all about. But more than that, and we'll get to this tomorrow, I want to tell you how it connects to Promise software.
That's a big deal because Promise was the at the very heart of the what Danny Casolaro, the reporter who was murdered in Virginia, or was it West Virginia? Anyway, Danny Casolaro was an investigative reporter working on something he called the octopus because it had tentacles everywhere.
There's that eight again.
Yeah.
And that ugly birthday cake.
And Promise Software and the theft of it and how it was then used by, not just the United States government, but other shadowy elements.
Well, go to my website, take a read. It'll get you started. It's essentially I'm asking questions. There are links to articles about DynCorp, and one of them does get into the Promise issue.
Yeah, so. You talk about through the looking glass. That's it. Want to toss out one final thing here just because I found this curious. This is interesting coming from this fellow who's been so successful his whole career. I think he's making a mistake here. Rupert Murdoch, the chairman of News Corp, says today, this afternoon, that he intends to start charging at all of News Corp's news websites. So foxnews.com, I would assume. Much of the content at Wall Street Journal online is already by subscription only, but that's specialized investment stuff. But foxnews.com, newyorkpost.com, skynews.com, all of those news sites, he wants to charge it because he says, we're giving away our content for free, so we're not going to have any good reporting anymore. Well,
okay, well, define good reporting, but I do think he's right. I think that the internet, the days of the internet being free for all is over. We will at the very least enter into a tiered system.
Maybe so, where if you want faster service with video and audio on demand.
Yeah, because we're not buying the paper, you know, in its printed form anymore. And we're all turning to the internet for it. And they've got to make a buck. I mean, let's just admit it. They are business people. So they're going to have to charge somewhere. The question is, how are they going to do it? And, you know, he's going to lead the way. So watch what he does.
Right, because he's got the power to make things happen. So if nothing else, he's just a very savvy businessman. So
well, at the very least, I think they may be going to the providers and saying, okay, well, your people are getting this for free, so you're going to have to pay us to access our sites with your service. Mm-hmm. And they'll pass that along to us.
Pass the cost on to us, yep, like it always does. AIG, the big insurance giant, stock jumped 66% today. 66%. They've got an earnings report coming out Friday. Watch for something going on there.
Yeah.
That is really unusual. So, want to thank Deb and John Schutt. Deb was the woman who put together the Politics, Prophecy, and Supernatural Conference in Ohio recently, back in July. And she very kindly, well, she did two things. Well, three things. I'll come in again. She sent us a copy of the CDs from the presentation, which is really awesome. We look forward to listening to these because the presentations are for some of our favorite people.
Oh, I know. We were so excited when she said that she wanted to send them to us.
Right. Russ Dizdar, Gary Kah, who we've not had the opportunity to meet, but look forward to that. So we've got some great information to listen to. She also sent us a wonderful chenille dachshund.
We're going to take a picture of that and post it to the website.
Yeah. And so thank you very much, Deb. That was just a wonderful blessing. It really made our day today.
Little hearts bubbled up over Sam's head when he saw the little chenille dachshund.
He's really cute and soft.
Except it says Sam on the,
yeah, on the collar. Yeah.
So Sam's probably thinking, I love me.
Well, that's no surprise. So anyway, thank you, Deb, and thank you.
And thank you to Denise. Denise, we don't use generally we don't use last names. Thank you, Denise, for donating to PID, as did the
Deb
Schutt.
And John Schutt. Yeah. So thank you so much for your support, your prayers, and Sam says thank you for the stuffed Sam the dachshund. Our email address, if you'd like to send us comments, questions, or suggestions, is radio@peeringintodarkness.com.
You can always join us on Facebook and Twitter and follow us wherever we're leading. Please don't blame us where we end up. It may be at Krispy Kreme. Right now it's going to be. I need snacks.
And you'll see all those links at along with the show notes at PIDradio.com. Until tomorrow, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye, everybody.
Gonna step up to the microphone. Say it loud and clear. A better day is coming soon to get us out of here. Don't let the hard times get you down. Older days will disappear. There's a new day coming. A new former days and living in the past. God can do a new thing now in a kingdom that will last. He'll make a way across your wilderness like a river flows in desert land. There's a new day coming now.
cutting-edge news and analysis on demand.
This is PID Radio.